We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. This is an injury show. Champions of the People. That's what we are. We have championed people's cases for over 35 years. Put our experience to work for you. Our telephone number, 303-795-5900, 795-5900. And you go to our website anytime at championsofthepeople.com. All of our books are there. We have written five books. We've written them on hit and run. We call it Cowards of the Street because they are. We've written a book called Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice. Once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. We have a book on workers' compensation if you've been injured on the job. And now we have a new book. It's being published right now. It'll be available next week, I think Thursday of the upcoming week. The Essential Guide is called Car Insurance in Colorado. Anything you wanted to know about car insurance, our book is there. It's free. And in the back of the book, we have definitive examples with narrative explaining to you what the coverages mean in easy-to-understand language. Why do we do all this? So to give you the information, that's why we do the show. That's why we've been doing these shows for years. We're new to KOA, but we've been doing these shows for a long, long time. And people like the information. Information is empowering. If you want a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan, you can come see us at Bell and Pollock, Champions of the People. 303-795-5900. Right before the break, we were talking about the fact you suspect somebody is texting on their phone, and I told you what the distances were if you're going 40 miles an hour or 50 miles an hour. At 50 miles an hour, in 2 seconds, you cover half a football field or more than half of a football field without looking where you're going. Boom! It happens. Now you got maybe surgery, maybe neck surgery, maybe low back surgery, maybe conservative modalities of treatment, maybe physical therapy, maybe it's a year later, and you want to know if this person was on their phone and how do you prove it? And they are impaired when they do this. Now, Brad, let's break down for everybody how the insurance company works. I don't think this is known very much. Insurance companies that insure the at-fault driver, they have fiduciary duties to that at-fault driver. They have no duty to you, the injured victim. They're there to protect the at-fault driver, so they're going to pay for any settlement. They're going to hire the attorneys for the at-fault driver and pay for them. They're going to pay for any settlement, so they don't want these phone records to come out and be discovered.
Well, they don't want anything to come out that might show responsibility or liability in there. And they're very good at making sure that they hide as much as possible. They do have the reporting requirements within their own company that they need to be able to get to people to say, here's what happened and we need to address this issue. So they do face a potential problem if they don't put everything they're supposed to put into the log. But they won't give you the log. When you do get the log, they'll redact out or black out as much of the log as possible. They're not going to give you the information concerning their at-fault driver being negligent or their at-fault party not paying attention. I truly believe a number of these adjusters have been taught that be careful what you put in that log because it might be discoverable or put it in certain spots where we know we can try to redact it. They want to make sure they're not giving you the information that's going to get their insured in more hot water, so to speak, as far as what they're doing. And one of those is always whether or not they were on their cell phone or whether or not they had some kind of other distraction going on. They don't want to tell you what the situation is.
You have to discover the cell phones and records, and you have to get after it. So, I mean, the sooner you go see an attorney, the quicker the procedures are going to be put in place to ask for and discover the phone records. Sometimes in our law firm, we issue what's called a spoliation letter. If you come to us and you say, I think that person was texting, I know they were. And so we issue a letter to the person themselves and to the insurance company for the at-fault party saying, do not get rid of or destroy any evidence. Keep and preserve. Do not spoil. In essence, it's called a spoliation letter. Do not spoil the evidence and get rid of it or throw it away or destroy it or alter it. And this can be used to your advantage big time with regard to your injury claim, but you must do it. and you must do it early as possible so they don't destroy the records. You can always try to subpoena the records from the carrier like AT&T, like Verizon, etc., Comcast. You can subpoena the records, and then they get the phone calls, as you know, right down to the minute. So, but Brad, why does it matter to the insurance company? Because they're going to fight you on liability. They're going to say this accident was just an ordinary, well, it was an accident, it was no big deal. But when you have phone records, it takes it out of this little norm, this little model that they've built up in their minds. And the model is, well, it's just an accident, no big deal. But when you're texting, then they understand that they could lose the case. They can lose on ordinary negligence, and that's a subject for another day. But they know that this is an extra item that the injured person can use to claim liability and prove liability, and that's why it's so important.
Well, this is, again, where we come to the point where we try and tell you that the insurance company is not really there for you. You think they're there for you, start thinking again. And I hate to say it that simple, but you say, oh, they're going to protect me. They're taking care of my case. They're making sure I don't have to pay anything extra. Well, the insurance company doesn't want to release this information because the insurance company knows the minute that information gets into your hands, the injured person's hands, and the minute they understand that information gets into the attorney's hands, the case has a different value. Because now the case is going to have a value of top dollar because the distracted driving adds another element to potential responsibility by the at-fault driver. And the at-fault driver has to face the tune of the fact that they were distracted driving. And now the at-fault party, the driver themselves, should be, he or she should be looking at the insurance company saying, first of all, tell the truth. Second of all, that I bought my insurance for you to pay. Go pay the person that I hurt. Go pay the person as a result of my negligence and as part of my distractions. The insurance company, on the other hand, would like to keep that from coming in because they know every time an element of information comes into the hands of the other side, the injured party, that helps to prove and determine damages and determine liability and the reason why the crash occurred, they know that's going to cost them money. And they don't want to have to pay more money. So the insurance company is looking out for itself to try to avoid having this information come in because it knows that once it comes in, its negotiating power is diminished, and it will go to great lengths to avoid losing that negotiating power.
Right, and we're just talking about one little small subject on how you prove liability, and normally you need attorneys to navigate this insurance maze. You know, on our Saturday morning show, that's a live call-in show on any legal subject, many times we tell people you don't need an attorney. You can go to small claims court, or we'll help you, or we'll talk you through that procedure, and you can go do this yourself. You don't need an attorney. When we say you need an attorney, you need one. This is where you need one. They have their own strategies. You know, many times these insurance companies, this is just an ordinary day for them. Ordinary day and event, you have an accident, but it's not an ordinary day and event for you. It's anything but. You need to have the information and knowledge. You don't want to go through this guessing or speculating or trying or hoping or thinking somebody's going to be fair to you or thinking surely you were the victim and surely somebody's going to pay you. You don't want that to happen. You want a strategy. You can get one at Bell and Pollock. You can come into our law firm. We'll give you a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. You know what? We think the legal game plan is so important, we wrote a book on it. That's one of our five books that you can get for free. Legal game plan. What do you do? What's your strategy? And it should be designed towards you. How were you injured? Were you T-boned? Were you rear-ended? You know, are they going to deny liability? Was there phone records we need to go after? That's part of the legal game plan. What were your injuries? Are you going to have surgery or not? Different game plan. Were you hit by a drunk driver or not? Different game plan. You have to have a legal game plan. And you get our book free, championsofthepeople.com. All right, Brad, we're talking about impaired driving. Right now we're talking about texting. Coming later in the show, we're going to be talking about prescription drugs, impaired driving, drunk driving, and that sort of thing. But impaired driving, they don't want to see it. They don't want to produce the records. They want to fight it because they know it takes it out of the ordinary model that they have it, and it upsets that model, and it puts them in a more vulnerable position. But the insurance company for the at-fault party, Brad, is supposed to try to protect the at-fault party. Let's just talk a little bit about the fact that many times these insurers that rear end somebody, they don't want to go to court. They don't want to be sued, but they don't make the decision. Who makes the decision, Brad? Who controls all the money? Who makes the decision where they're going to pay $1, no dollars, or a lot of dollars?
Well, once again, that's a situation you have to deal with the insurance company. Adjusters love to give you that comment. You ask for information from the adjuster, and the adjuster goes, I'll have to get permission from my insured to give it to you. And you're going, no, you don't. And you're not getting permission. What you're doing is calling up the insured and saying, I don't want to give this to him. Let's not give it to him. If they're calling you at all and saying, let's not give the information. The idea that they're not going to give information because they're getting permission from the insured and the insured won't give them the permission. Sitting there right now, if you ran into somebody, if you caused a crash, anybody listening, if you caused a crash, and the basic information the person wants on their side was there. They start saying, give me the information as far as what kind of insurance do they have and how much insurance do they have and were they doing these different things. You're not going to be telling the adjuster don't do it unless the adjuster tells you don't give it to them. And when the adjuster says don't give it to them, then you're not going to get the information. And you're going to say, okay, don't give them the information, and they're not going to give it to the injured party. And they're going to suck you right into a lawsuit because the attorney on the other side has nothing more they can do at that point than file the lawsuit. And once they file the lawsuit, they're going to get the information. So really, can you imagine if the adjuster says, well, I don't think we should give it to them, but that means you're going to get a lawsuit. You're going to be served a summons complaint. You're going to have potentially your own assets at risk. You're going to have to go to court. You're going to have to take time off work to deal with the accident and the crash. You're going to have to admit responsibility. You're going to have to go to depositions. You're going to have to be involved in all this. Why? Because I'm telling you not to give information they'll get just as soon as they file the lawsuit.
But the point of the matter is the at-fault person, the insurance company, makes those decisions. Many times at-fault people think, well, just pay them. That's what I bought insurance for. Pay them a fair amount. And I don't want to go to court. I don't want to be sued. Pay them a fair amount. But the insurance company, understand this. The insurance company for the at-fault party decides if they're going to pay $1, no dollars, anything, or fight it. The at-fault party makes none of those decisions. Can't control those decisions. Can't control them. They don't want to be sued. They don't want to have their deposition taken. Give them the phone records. Give them the information and pay them a fair amount. What did I buy car insurance for? That's exactly how this works. The insurance company for the at-fault party hires the at-fault party's lawyer, pays for the lawyer, pays for any settlement, pays for any judgment, makes them go to trial, makes the plaintiff's attorney file a lawsuit, and then they say, the injured person's greedy. The injured person lawyers are greedy. When they don't tell you, the insurance company made them file the lawsuit to begin with. Next up, can you be impaired by prescription drugs? Can you be impaired by being drunk? You know the answer to that one, but what about prescription drugs? Bell and Pollock, champions of the people. We'll be right back. When a driver chooses to violate a safety rule, everyone on the road is in danger. That means you, me, everyone. Driving and dangerous choices. Think about it. The only allowable choice is the safest choice. Otherwise, you and your family are put at risk, in harm's way. This is really what car crashes are all about. One driver makes a choice that violates a safety rule. Everyone else is needlessly put in danger. In danger of injury, medical bills, surgery, lost jobs, quality of life changes, and future expenses. All it takes is one driver and one dangerous choice. I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We've been representing injured victims for over 25 years. We can help you put your life back together again. We'll fight the insurance company who defends those who injure you and your family, those who make dangerous choices. At Bell and Pollock, we are experienced injury attorneys who care about you and your family. Reach us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com or call us at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. One call, that's all. When you've been injured in a car crash, you're up against large insurance companies and their lawyers. You need experienced attorneys on your side. I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We've been representing injured victims just like you for over 25 years. We can help put your life back together again. Sometimes the strongest thing you can do is ask for help. Bell and Pollock, Colorado's premier injury law firm. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. We'll help you.
Hi, it's Mandy Connell. Join my friends Gary Bell and Brad Pollock for the Bell and Pollock Legal Show right here on KHOW every Saturday morning at 7. It's a live call-in show to give Coloradans like you free legal advice on any topic you'd like to discuss with them.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Injury Show. We are injury attorneys. Don't forget on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock on KHOW, sister station, we do our live call-in show as a community service. Hour-long, we answer people's questions on any legal subject. It doesn't matter if it's estate work, your dog got loose, something the neighbor wants a tree cut down, somebody wants a restraining order. We've been doing that show for years, and we're glad to do it to help people. Many times we tell people, you don't really need an attorney, but here's what you need to do. On this show, this is an injury show. We give you the information each week to teach you and educate you, to try to give you a level playing field with the insurance company who's trying to beat your injury claim. I mean, say you haven't worked for 4 months, or you've worked part-time for 4 months. You've lost wages. Your medical bills are $50,000, and they won't play ball with you, and they have strategies to beat you. You better know what those are in advance. If you come to see us, Bell and Pollock will give you a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan tailored to your accident and your injuries. It doesn't get any better than that. Phone number 303-795-5900, 795-5900. And our website, you couldn't forget it if you tried, championsofthepeople.com. All right, right before the break, we said, what can you be impaired on prescription drugs? Brad, this gets even tougher, but we've done it. We've done it many times, and it's very, very important, because if you've got an at-fault driver that is either abusing, misusing, or not complying with prescription drugs, or they shouldn't even be driving, can that affect the liability? Can that affect the recovery? And how do you go about doing all that?
Now, that's an even bigger story, really, when you get into it, because prescription drugs run both ways. You can have the prescription drug that you're taking, and a lot of times it'll say don't drive or don't operate heavy machinery. It should be a clue. Sometimes it doesn't say that. You have to know what the combination of the prescription drugs are, and that's where the person who's driving that's getting this medical care, do they have a caretaker, someone who is coordinating all the prescription drugs they're taking, or is the person not taking a prescription drug that they've been taking or they should have been taking, and because they're coming off of it, is it distracting or making them unable to operate a vehicle carefully? Or should they be taking it and they're not, and therefore the condition itself is causing a problem? So prescription drugs are very important to know whether or not the driver who caused the crash, were they under prescription for prescription drugs? And if they were under prescription for it, then you know you're left with having to get and find out and go to the pharmacies where they've been getting their drugs to be able to identify how often they're getting their drugs. Do they have enough on board? Have they been using them on the right schedule? You know, a lot of times, and this is one of the few places where you might be able to get the at-fault driver's medical records to be able to determine and see what the doctors have told them about the prescription drugs.
Yeah, normally the at-fault driver's medical records are not discoverable. You can't discover them. But in some instances, you can, and we have done it. And we've done it numerous times. And you think these insurance companies who insure these at-fault drivers and pay for the attorneys who represent them and pay for settlements, you think they fight the phone records and the texting records? You should see what they do with regard if you want the medical records of the at-fault driver. Because they might be abusing, you know, they might be abusing drugs. You know, a classic is a diabetic. They're a non-compliant diabetic. They cause an accident. Cause an accident. I could tell you stories that would turn up the hair on the back of your neck about drivers that have driven miles on I-25 and C-470, and they don't even remember it. They have, in essence, they're driving, but they have a diabetic event, a syncope episode, possibly, and they say they don't remember it. Driving through school zones. And so sometimes you can get the medical records. But, Brad, you know, an interesting point in this area is everybody goes, well, you know, if you're drunk driving, that you're impaired. That's, I got that. I understand that. Right. And, of course, that's a whole lot of nuances to that. But if you're drunk driving, there's a statute and there's scientific evidence that says, and in Colorado, if you, you know, 0.08, then you're impaired and you reach a certain level. But think about this. With prescription drugs, right? Prescription drugs, there's no statutory level. I mean, if you're taking Xanax or Valium or Vicodin, right? Oxycodone. There's no level. So how do you know you're impaired? How do you prove they're impaired? And by the way, Brad, they always say, well, I wasn't taking the drug anyway. I mean, I have a prescription for it, but I wasn't taking the drug. But how do you prove this? Because there's no level like there is on DUI.
Well, this is a big issue because what you're dealing with is you're having to be able to prove that they were under some kind of influence. It's important that if you have even the slightest thought, even the slightest belief when you're talking to the person after the crash that they're not acting in a regular way, in a regular, normal manner that you'd expect to encounter somebody, then you need to get that information to the police officer immediately. Gary mentioned a number of drugs, and we all know the key drug that is very, very hard to detect and know whether or not we have a problem is marijuana. And when we're dealing with those drugs, it's very difficult to be able to tell whether or not they're under any kind of influence. And that's what you're talking about. Are they distracted? Have their abilities been impaired? And you need to point this out to the police officer if you think it's there. You need to be very aware of it and watching it. We as attorneys will try to get that information. A lot of the information we will get. Some of the information, when I say we'll try to get it, it's because we're sometimes having to chase down information that is going to be subject to a lot of discretion as far as whether or not people want to tell us in ways we can't prove it. They had the drug. They were told to use the drug, or the drug was available to them, and they were told to use it on an as-needed basis. How do we prove they took it? How do we prove it's in their system? By the time the case gets to us, it's too late to take any kind of blood test. Even if everybody's been gone to the hospital and they've had blood tests taken, unless you can give the doctor some idea of what to screen for, they can screen for blood for the blood for different concerns the doctor has, but you may never have them being screened for any of the drugs that we're talking about, or any of the medications they might have been taking, or to screen for even illegal drugs. If they didn't screen for them, if they didn't specifically test for them, they're not going to come up on a blood test.
Okay, but do you just give up? There's ways to prove this. No, you don't just give up. I mean, that's one avenue, a way to prove it, but if you can't do that, you got to do other avenues. That's why we say you need to go to an attorney, and you need to go to attorneys that know what they're doing and have the experience to prove it. Bell and Pollock, call us anytime, 303-795-5900, that's 795-5900, or go to our website. Our website is designed with you in mind. It is loaded with information. All of our books are there. Our podcasts are there. Our legal shows are there. The KHOW show is there. This KOA show is here. All our other injury shows are there. You want to know about neck injuries, back injuries, surveillance? We cover it all, and we're glad to do it, and we're going to do it for you right here. Thank you for tuning in. The Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Now, you're dealing with these prescription drugs, Brad. They say it's too late. You know, there was no test. There was no tox screen. Maybe they went to the ER. Maybe you get to the ER records finally of the at-fault driver after a huge fight, and there's nothing there. There's no toxicology screen. You can't prove it. And they say, well, I have a prescription for Valium. Yes, I have a prescription for Vicodin. Yes, I have a prescription for Percocet. I even take sleeping medication. I take NyQuil. I take as needed, but I wasn't taking it at the time of this crash. I was not taking it. So you can get their pharmacy records. It's a fight, but that's where you head and why.
Sure, you want to get the pharmacy records to see how they've been filling the prescriptions. Have they been doing it on a regular basis that would indicate that this person's not telling you the truth? You want to see if you can get whatever information you can to see if they're regular with their medications. And if this is something where, once again, we can take their character and we can take their habit and we can take what they usually do and how they carry out their lives to say, look, that, you know, to save on this day, this is the one day out of all the days in the past that you didn't take one, the prescription medication, that's going to be hard pressed for a jury to believe them. And a lot of times what you're doing is you're putting the information before a jury to let the jury decide whether or not they want to believe the person when they start saying, this is the routine I had. This is the sleep I had before the crash. These are the drugs I didn't have before the crash. These are the drugs I did have before the crash. A lot of times you've got to establish the pattern of the at-fault driver so you can show the pattern and let the jury then decide whether or not that pattern fits what the at-fault driver is saying.
Right, and you need to discover this. You don't always win these, but you must go after it. You must try to find it out, especially if there's a huge crash and there's serious injuries. You need to know what this at-fault driver was doing. And, you know, and I hate to use this example, but I'm going to. In the Timothy McVeigh bombing case a long time ago, he never got up and admitted he did this. So the at-fault driver doesn't admit they were taking Vicodin or oxycodone. They don't admit it. So how did the prosecutors in that case prove it? They proved it through circumstantial evidence. He bought the fertilizer here. He bought the electrical charges here. Circumstantial evidence. So think about this. If you have an at-fault driver that says, I have a prescription for Valium, I have a prescription for Xanax, but nope, I wasn't taking it. And if their pharmacy records show that 2 weeks before the accident, they filled the prescription for all of these, one or more, maybe four of them, and that for 2 weeks after the accident, they filled the prescription again. What do you think? Circumstantial evidence. They say, I wasn't taking it, but you used up your prescription. It's prescribed that you take it every day. And you fill the prescription before and you fill the prescription afterwards. Circumstantial evidence. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we have over 35 years of experience. If you've been injured, you can give us a call at 303-795-5900, 795-5900, or go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. All of our books are there. We have a new book coming out on car insurance in Colorado. You're going to want to get a copy of it. We're so glad to do this show. We'll see you next week. We are your champions of the people.